Good morning and welcome to Raleighville Gospel Church. Today we're going to be wrapping up a series from Psalms 118 focusing on getting centered on God. We've been focusing on what it means to get centered in on God during the hard times. You know, I've talked about having this peace, having strength, having confidence in your life, no matter what's going on, but especially when you're in the middle of a mess. You know, you start to think about it. Too often, we meet people or a person who is centered, right? I mean, godly centered. And they live with such a calmness, right? This calm assurance. They have a security in the hands of our God. And we think when we see that, when we get to experience this person and we get to see their life, when things are going wrong and they're secure and they're at peace. Too often we think about it and we go, you know what, that person, they've got an easy life. Right, look how happy he is. Look how relaxed she is. They don't have a care in the world. They've got it all together. Let me tell you something. Nothing could be further than the truth. Nothing. No one, by their own perception, has an easy life. Nobody, by their own perception, has an easy life. They have their own challenges. They have their own obstacles that you can't see, but they deal with it differently. They're at peace. They have assurance. They have strength. See, being a centered person isn't determined how many or how few problems you have. It's all based, it's all determined on your relationship with God. If you're right with God, if you're right where God wants you to be, then you have a great opportunity to experience this centeredness that we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. Peace in the middle of turmoil. Having hope in the middle of uncertainty. Having confidence in the middle of a setback. This kind of security, it's available. It's available to God's children. It's what Jesus proclaimed when he said in John 14, 27, he said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." If we were to go back and take a look at the very first week that I started this series, you'd see that I spoke about how God is for you. You've got to believe that. It starts there. You've got to believe that God is for you. That means that you can count on Him, that you can call out to Him in times of distress. You can count on God when you can't count on nobody else. And then last week we looked at the fact that God is in control. No matter what you've got going on, no matter how big this mess might look, God is in control. Your situation may be totally out of control. Your situation may be just seem like chaos. But God is in control. This is the day that the Lord has made. You remember that? He made it. He owns it. He knows how to handle everything that comes our way. And if you truly, hear me out, if you truly believe that God's in control, then you can celebrate the day. You can celebrate this day. You can celebrate tomorrow. You can celebrate every day, no matter what is going on. That's what it means to get centered in on God. God has made today for you to experience Him. Today's message comes from Psalms 118, 22 through 23, and I've titled it, God Has a Plan. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your plan. I thank You for the plan of this message. I thank You for the plan that You're playing out in our life, in this world, in our country. We don't always understand it. We get upset at times. We get frustrated, Lord. You know that. But ultimately, You have a plan, and there is such reassurance or such peace knowing that You're in control and that You have a plan, and I thank You for it. Lord, I ask You to be with every person here that's watching this today. Guide our hearts, our minds, our ears, our mouth, Lord, and let every person watching or listening hear what You want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're going to take a look at verse 22. And in this verse, 22 and 23, in this verse we see the psalmist, he makes a statement which Jesus actually talks about Himself later in Matthew. I believe it's chapter 21, verse 42. This verse applies to Jesus. The one we're getting ready to read, it applies to Jesus, but it isn't exclusively about Jesus. It's about God's way of doing things. It's about God's way of working in your life, in my life. Let me read it to you. Psalms 118, 22, it says this, "The stone that the builder rejects has become the cornerstone." The stone that the builder rejects has now become the cornerstone. You see, these words apply to Jesus because when He came into this world, He was rejected by the religious leaders. He was condemned by the political leaders. He was put to death on a cross. His enemies thought it was over. Thought He was completely out of the picture now, right? They never had to deal with Him or His followers ever again. But they were wrong. Because the man that they nailed to a cross, He didn't disappear. Not like they thought He was. Like He would. He was dead as dead could be on Friday. They put Him in that tomb. He was dead. No life. But on Sunday, 3 days later, the Spirit of God entered the grave and breathed into Him, and His heart started beating. Okay? The blood started flowing. His lungs filled up with air. Jesus was alive again. And then that's not all it is to it. Listen to this. His ragtag band of believers who had all deserted Him, well, now they're suddenly filled with boldness. They're suddenly filled with courage. They're suddenly filled with strength. And they begin to preach. And they begin to teach His message. Not theirs, His message. And they start to imitate His life. And this new movement, that we now call church, started in His name. It's His church, and it was all built around Him. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is our foundation. He is the cornerstone. You see, the person that was rejected, ridiculed, beaten, mocked, condemned to die, he became the cornerstone. And you're thinking, okay, Donnie, I get that. I kind of knew that. I appreciate that. What's that got to do with me? How does that apply to me? I'm glad you asked. Listen, that which appears to signify failure, that which appears to signify defeat in your life, can actually become the foundation of a new life for you. What has brought rejection in your life, what has brought turmoil in your life, strife in your life, a mess to your life, can now become the cornerstone of what God wants to accomplish in your life. If you are willing to trust God. Let me give you an illustration of this. It's a great illustration. I've used it a time or two. You've probably heard this, but it works so good. If you remember a gentleman by the name of Chuck Colson. Now Chuck, he's a top-level aide to President Nixon. And he was indicted and sent to prison shortly after the Watergate scandal back in the 70s. His political life was over. It was done. He was a broken man, a shell of a man. In prison, he began reading the Bible and also some Christian books, which led to his acceptance of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And then he became a new man. Not only to become a new man, he had a new mission. After his release of prison, he started prison fellowships. A ministry that was impacting the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of inmates. It didn't stop there. He also became a spokesperson for evangelicals. He became an influential voice in the church. See, God took Chuck, he took his worst defeat, he took his worst nightmare, he took his worst mess, his greatest failure, and he made it the cornerstone of his new life. That, my friends, is what God can do. Our difficulties are not as random as they appear. This mess, this pandemic that we're in, God's got a plan. It's not as random as it appears. This type of stuff, the messes in our life, can serve a purpose in our life. A purpose that serves you and brings you closer to God and brings glory to God. If you remember from last week, we read Psalms 118:25. It says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success." God has prepared for you a place of blessings. God has prepared a place of prosperity, a place of abundance, a place of usefulness, a place of meaning, and it can all be yours if, big if you're willing to trust God. In another Psalms, David said in Psalms 138:8, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." I want you to know something. I want you to know and believe that God has a plan in your life. God has a plan for this church. God's got a plan for His church. God's got a plan for turning things around in our lives. Whatever mess we might be in, whatever mess you find yourself in, He can bring you out of it. But listen to this, it's not just that. He glorifies Himself through it. And His plan is not always obvious. It's not going to be obvious, especially in that moment. It may not be obvious from your perspective. You might not ever get to see it turn out. But let me tell you something. He's going to make a way for you to experience the fullness of His joy in your life. Jump down, take a look at verse 23 from Psalms 118. It says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In order to get to that point, you got to talk to God about your situation. In order to get to the point when you can proclaim, "It is marvelous, Lord, I know what you're doing," or, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you, and it's marvelous in my eyes. In order to get there, you have got to talk to God about your situation. We see this throughout the entire Bible. We've been talking about that throughout the book of Psalms. We got to see David do it. Crying out to God. Calling out to God. Listen, when you are in those tough times, you may be tempted to pray less. Right? You might be tempted to think, well, you know, all this praying is not really doing anything because I don't see any results. Let me tell you something. Praying less will not help you. You need to pray more. You need to spend more time with God. You need to get more time or spend more time in God's Word. God wants you to trust Him, plain and simple. And you can't trust Him if you're avoiding Him. You hear that? You can't trust God if you spend your time trying to avoid God. It doesn't work. God wants your situation to bring you closer to Him. God desires to be in a relationship with you. God desires to hear from you. Jesus uses the word friendship to describe our relationship. He wants to have fellowship with you every single day, not just on Sundays. He wants to hear from you. He wants to have fellowship with you every single day. You know, as a parent, one of my greatest joys is when Austin comes and talks to me. Most parents here can agree or disagree, but you get what I'm getting at. One of my greatest joys is when Austin just wants to talk to me. Doesn't matter what it's about. It could be about hunting, it could be about school, it could be about some type of crazy video, a song. It really doesn't matter. It's just great when he initiates a conversation, especially now that he's about 14, well, not about, he is, when he's 14 years old, and he comes to me and initiates the conversation. Now, what I wouldn't want him to do is when we're in the middle of this conversation, he looks down at his watch or his phone to see what time it is. Make sure he's just putting in some quota. You know what I'm talking about? You know where I'm going, don't you? Listen, I want a relationship with him. I want to fellowship with him. I want to spend time with him. That's what our Heavenly Father wants from us. If you're in the middle of a mess, let this situation be a catalyst. Let it be the glue to bring you closer to God. Not just for the duration of the situation. Not just for the duration of your mess that you're going through. No. Let it be the catalyst, the glue that you build on that relationship for the duration of your existence. I want to encourage you to talk to God about your situation. Be brutally honest about it. Tell Him about it. Tell Him what you like, what you don't like, how it's going. Connect with God. That's what it's all about getting centered on God. Connect with God. Develop a powerful relationship, one that's deep, one that's intimate. It fills you with power. It fills you with peace. It fills you with joy. It fills you with strength. I can go on and on and on and on. That's what God wants for you, but that's what God wants to give you. Another thing that can help you get centered, get to this point in your life, is to give thanks to God for everything. Give God thanks for everything. Psalms 118 is an entire psalms of gratitude. You see it everywhere through this chapter. Take a look at verse 1. says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Verse 21 says, "I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation." Verse 28, "You are my God, and I will give thanks to You." Verse 29, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Here's what I'm getting at. Develop a habit of giving thanks to God. It helps us overcome an entitlement mentality. See, when we try to live for God, when we try to accomplish good things in His name, we can, and He will help us. But if we're not careful, we'll develop an attitude that says, "God, you owe me." Right? "God, You should make my life easier because of what I'm doing. God, You should provide more, and really, you know what, Lord? You should do it faster. Lord, I shouldn't have to wait. Lord, why exactly are You doing this to me? Lord, I shouldn't really have to stress over this." Now, we might not come right out and say it, but I'm going to tell you what, there are times we think it. We develop a sense of entitlement. The fact is, God doesn't owe you anything. We need to get beyond this attitude of demanding things from God like a spoiled child and instead learn to receive things from God like a grateful child. Because when God blesses you, He's not paying you back for something that you did for Him. He's not closing out an open invoice. He's not bringing the account balance down to zero. And He's not repaying a favor. You see, when God blesses you, He's giving you a gift. He wasn't obligated to give you this gift. He gives that which we don't deserve. That, my friends, is called grace. Take every opportunity to say, "Thank You, God, for everything that comes in your life, for every good thing that comes in your life." Learn to say, "Thank You." But go above that and look. Seek out the good things that are going on in your life to make a point to say, "Thank You. Thank You, God." Thank Him in the small things. Get in that habit of recognizing God everywhere you look. Everywhere you go. I said it last week. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. Go out into that day. God made that day so that you can experience Him. So find that. Seek that out. Look for it. See it. And when you do, thank God for it. Recognize the fact that every good thing that comes in your life is from God. Every single thing, no matter how small it is. And know that God can take that mess that you're in, that trial, that rejection, the failures, the tough times in your life, and turn them into a resounding victory. And you might be saying, "Well, I don't see how that's going to happen." No, you probably don't. It may not be obvious. It's not going to be obvious in your mess. Never is. Never will be. It might come to you completely out of left field years and years and years later. You might not ever get to see it. But God has a plan of turning things around in your life. And here's how you can get into that plan. Spend time with Him as a child spends time with a parent. Let go of your sense of entitlement by remembering to say thank You for every good thing that God puts in your life. This is going to put you where God wants you to be in order to do the work in your life that He wants to do. And He'll do it. You can count on it. That's what this entire last three sermons, this last 3 weeks, this series has been about. It's all about trusting God because He is good and wants the best for you. And when you do that, when you put your trust in Him, there will be changes taking place in your life. I guarantee it. Changes in ways where you can say, like verse 23, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." No matter what you're going through, no matter what mess you're in, and what problem you're dealing with, you'll be able to say, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes." As I come to a close, I pray this happens to you. I pray it happens soon. Get centered on God. Get centered in the middle of your life. Get centered on God so you can know where your strength comes from, your joy. Get centered on God in the middle of your mess and be able to look out above and beyond that mess and go, "God is good. God has a plan. God is in control, and He loves me." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You have given us this opportunity to grow in a relationship with You. Day by day, closer and closer and closer, to get centered in on You, to know that You are for us, that You are in control, and that You have a plan. And I thank You so much for that. I thank You for the peace, the joy, the strength that You give. If we trust You. Lord, I thank You that. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to the very end of our sermon series. So I say this and then I'll finish. Know that God is for you. No matter what's going on in your life, God is for you. Know that He is in control no matter what's happening. And God does have a plan. Thank y'all so much for turning in this week. Have a great week. God bless.